Message will be taken out of one of the phrases that are in here in Psalm 143. And once you look down at verse 5 of Psalm 143, the psalmist David says, I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy works, I muse on the work of thy hand. This morning, if you will allow me, we are going to muse on the works of God's hands. Some time ago, Peggy and I changed insurance companies. And we see that insurance company advertised on TV all the time. And one of the last words that are said in those commercials is, are you in good hands, or you are in good hands? After we left the insurance company on the way back home, I was telling Peggy, you know, it's good to be in good hands for insurance on this earth, but I'm in better hands than that. I'm in the greatest of hands. I'm in the one who is in sovereign control of everything. I serve the sovereign, living, true God. This is the true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to muse just a little bit. The word meditate means to think about. It's like a cow that's in the field. He ruminates. He eats a while, goes, lays down in the shade. She eats a while, goes lay down in the shade, and she'll rift up what we call the cud, and she'll re-chew it. And she may do it three or four times because, you know, cows have four stomachs. So she may do it several times. That's what the word meditate in the Old Testament, that's what it comes from. Ruminate. Think about. Keep thinking about. Bring it back up and keep thinking about it again. And then David says here in Psalm 143, I muse on the work of thy hands. The word muse takes meditation a little bit farther. The word muse means to not only ruminate on everything, but to assimilate. And that's why the cow ruminates, so that it can assimilate these nutrients and these things into its body and grow, produce milk, whatever a cow's supposed to do. And this morning we're going to meditate on His word in our thinking, but we're going to muse, we're going to assimilate, we're going to, as it were, speak it out. And isn't that what the gospel is supposed to be? That's what we're supposed to do with the gospel. Speak it out. Let people know. Let people know the truth of God's word, that God sent His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ became a man for one purpose, to die for the sins of His people. And this morning I want to ask you, as we look at these things together, are you in good hands? Are you in your own hands? Doing whatever you want, however you want, however you feel? Are you in the devil's hands? Doing whatever he wants? Acting like your father, the devil, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning? Are you in good hands? Are you in the hands of God? Which hands would you rather be in? Ezra and Nehemiah used a phrase several times throughout their books, the book of Ezra, the book of Nehemiah, and the phrase went something like this: after they had talked to the king, or after they had prayed and was getting ready to cross over in back into the promised land after 70 years of captivity, this phrase they used: according to the good hand of my God upon me. According to the good hand of my God upon me. Jesus, our Lord, said, there's none good but God. There's only one goodness in all the world, in all the universe, in all of creation, in all of heaven. There's only one thing, one person who's good, and that's God Himself. No wonder Paul said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Are you in good hands? The greatest hands. There's none like Him. Men try to produce another God. Men try to preach another gospel. But there's not another God. There's not another gospel. There's none like Him. There's none beside Him. Don't place anything beside Him. There's nothing like Him. There's nothing beside Him. And there's no comparison at all in all this universe to Him. So much so that when God looks at the stars in the skies and He looks at the heaven, they're unclean to Him. Everything about our Lord Jesus Christ is marvelous. Mysterious, majestic, mighty, immutable, which means unchanging. That's just a big old 50 cent word I threw out there. Unchanging, immovable, magnificent. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together, is what David said. Do you know even his spit had value? Three blind men He healed by using spit. Lord, if I could just have your spit, that'd be enough. The crumbs from the table had value, from His table. The scraps. The Syrophoenician woman said, well, even the dogs get to eat the scraps from the table. I'm a dog. I could eat the scraps from the table. Just had the crumbs. Just had the scraps. The hem of His garment had value. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years said, if I could just but touch the hem of His garment. And when she touched Him, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? For virtue had gone out of him. Many, when Jesus was in one place, many of the people went out abroad telling everybody that Jesus Christ was there in their midst. And many of them came if they could but touch the hem of His garment. But we're talking about His hands. Those glorious, powerful. David said, we're guided by the skillfulness of His hands. David said, the right hand of the Lord is exalted and doeth valiantly. David said, thy right hand is full of righteousness. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. His right hand is, and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Their saving strength in His right hand. We are upheld by His hand, David says. Oh, that we were in the good hands of our Lord. I've made my points just a little bit personal, but put your name, you, in the place of these. If you're one of God's sheep, I am in the good hands of Him that created everything. I'm in the good hands of Him who created everything. He made the seas. His hands formed the dry ground. The heavens and are the work of thy hands. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. And David says, in Psalm 143, verse 5, I muse on the work of thy hands. What hands they are. I'm in the good hands of that one, Jesus Christ the Lord, who created me. How can I say that? Look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, if you're in any doubt of who the Word is, look down at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He created everything. As a matter of fact, Paul wanted us to know that for sure. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is referring to Jesus Christ, the one in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins? Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I'm in the good hands of the one that created everything. As a matter of fact, when Stephen spoke his last sermon in the book of Acts, they stoned him for this, for his message of Jesus Christ. Stephen was speaking of Solomon, and Solomon was going to build the temple, and Solomon was told, just like David was told, and Solomon told the people, God doesn't dwell in a house made by hands. And the reason God said that is, hath not my hands made all things? I'm in the good hands of He who created everything. He has the sovereign right to rule all things. And Peter said it this way. He is a faithful creator. He's faithful to His people. He's a faithful creator. He created that new nature, that new creation, and He's faithful. He was, is, forever will be faithful to His new creation. Not only am I in the good hands of the Lord Jesus Christ who created everything, but I'm in the good hands that cannot be stayed. You can't stop these hands. Who do we think we are that we think we can bring God down to our level and make Him to be just like us? He is God. If anything I learned when I first started coming to Lantana Grace Church and Pastor Donnie was preaching, if anything I learned this. He's God. Really, that's all I need to know. He's God. I'm just part of His creation. What can I say? What can I do? I'm in the good hands of the Lord that cannot be stayed. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, go down to verse 34. You'll see Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Here we have a heathen, godless king's testimony. This man had conquered the whole then known world. He was used of God in this. God had brought him to this because God's purpose was to punish, chastise the people of God in Judah. And they were carried away captive by Nebuchadnezzar. He built the Hanging Gardens, some call one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And he stood outside that one day and said, "Look what I've done. Look how great a man I am. I've conquered the whole world. I've built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon so wonderfully and beautifully that everybody thinks I'm so wonderful and so great." And then God said, "No, you're not. You're just a man full of sin, just like everybody else." And Nebuchadnezzar went stark, raving mad. Why, he was out there eating grass like an animal. His fingernails grew like eagle's claws. His hair matted so much they were like eagle's feathers. He was outside, the dew of heaven fell on him day in and day out. And while God had him in that way, God evidently taught him something. Because when he came back to his right mind, he came back to sanity, here's what he said. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, 'What doest thou?'" Our Lord does what he pleases, when and however he pleases, heaven and earth. And what he's pleased is his purpose of all eternity, his covenant. That covenant of grace that began with him, that was made by him, that is made effectual in each one of his sheep, that covenant of grace that God made with himself. He always does right. You don't have to worry about those hands. They'll always do the right thing. I'm in the good hands of that one whose hands cannot be stayed. The writer of Proverbs said it this way: "The king's heart is in thy hand. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." That's pretty clear, isn't it? God even takes the king's heart and he turns it however he wants. Some 200 years before he ever became a ruler, Cyrus was mentioned by name by Isaiah. 200 years later, Ezra was standing in front of Cyrus, and Cyrus, God came to him and put it in his heart and in his mind in Ezra chapter 1 to build the temple for the Lord. 200 years later. Now, if the kings are in thy hand, the rulers of this world are in thy hands, what a privilege we have in these United States to make our vote. But God puts in office whom he will. God takes out of office whom he will. He's the one that's in control. Not you. Not me. I'm in the good hands of he that created everything. I'm in the good hands that cannot be stayed. Let me show you another one. I'm in the good hands that saved a drowning man. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus had commanded his disciples to go to the other side. Take a ship, go to the other side. They all got in the ship and started going to the other side, and a storm brewed up on the Sea of Galilee. That ship was tossed around like a cork in a bathtub. The winds and the waves were boisterous, in their face. They weren't getting anywhere. The fourth watch of the night, early morning, here comes Jesus walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost. Scared them half to death. When was the last time you saw somebody walking on the water? And the Lord spoke. Oh, I'm so glad he speaks when we're afraid. Be not afraid. It is I. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. That one day the Lord said that same thing to me. Don't be afraid. It is I. He says that to me quite often because I'm a man with fears. And he has to say it to me. Don't be afraid. It is I. I've got control of this storm. I've got control of these waves. I've got control of that wind. I've got control of all those problems. Don't be afraid. Peter said, you know how Peter was. He was one of those guys, you would say, open mouth, insert foot. He spoke his mind. I'm glad he did. Because that teaches us we can speak our mind, and the Lord, he'll either correct us or help us. But if we're one of his, we can speak our mind to him. Read the Psalms. David speaking his mind to the Lord. Some of those things you would hesitate to say yourself. But if you were in the circumstances he were in, you'd say them. And God would speak to you. It is I. Don't be afraid. Peter said, if it is you, bid me to come walk on the water with you. Now we can say whatever we want to say about Peter, but he's the only man besides Jesus Christ that walked on water. He exercised some faith. He stepped out of that ship and he started walking to Jesus, our Lord. But while he was walking there, our Lord was standing in such a way that the waves and the wind were billowing over, and Peter took his eyes off the Lord, put his eyes on the winds and the waves, and he began to sink. How fast do you sink in water? He had just enough time to say, Lord, save me. And I believe before his head ever went underwater, the Lord had reached out his hand. Look at verses 30 and 31. But when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. That's what I needed. I wasn't reaching my hand to him. I had this old rebellious heart. Black was sin, thinking I knew everything. Honestly, the first service I ever came with Peggy, I thought, well, I know more than these folk. I've been to college. I went to Bible school. I had 5 years of religious education. Man, I know more than these guys. Donnie got up and started preaching, and it didn't take but about halfway through the sermon that I realized I didn't know nothing. I'd never heard preaching like that before. Went out in the boat with a couple of the guys, Bruce and James, and they took me out trout fishing for the first time, going down the river. Bruce turned around and he said, what do you think about our preacher? I didn't know what to say. What do you think about the messages? I didn't know what to say, because I was flabbergasted by what I heard. And then the Lord taught me. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Sovereign grace is the truth. Sovereign God is the truth. God's effectual working is the truth. He didn't offer me anything. He reached out and caught me and brought me to himself. That's the only way I'd have ever come. And thank the Lord, he did it for me. I'm in the good hands that saved a drowning man. In the book of Acts, there were a number of people that were at that point in Acts chapter 11 being saved. The Greeks were brought to the Lord. The Grecians were, Grecian Jews in this case, were brought to the Lord. And it is said there, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Oh, that this morning, that the hand of the Lord would reach out immediately and catch someone and bring them into the ship. Is the Lord's hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Oh, he can redeem, and you can best believe it. I'm in the good hands that created everything. I'm in the good hands that cannot be stayed. I'm in the good hands that saved a drowning man, a sinner like me. I'm in the good hands that were nailed to the cross for me, the sinner. Listen to David in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse 16. Psalm 22 is a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. In Psalm 22 and verse 16, it says, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, rebellious man. Oh, the men that cried out, crucify him, crucify him. We'll have nothing to do with this man. We have no king but Caesar. Those soldiers led him to the cross, and they pierced his hands with nails. They pierced his feet with nails, and those hands are the hands that I'm in. Good hands. redemptive hands, hands that bled for me. His blood has given forgiveness to all his people. He suffered in my place, the just for the unjust, Peter said. For the joy that was set before him, he suffered these things. What joy could that be? The first joy was to be with his Father, satisfy him, be accepted of his Father. And the second joy was he brought many sons to glory. I'm in the good hands that were nailed to the cross for me. Paul said it this way, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, having nailed it to the tree. What was nailed to the tree? Our Lord Jesus Christ. God nailed that to the tree, him to the tree. They nailed something else to that tree, which was a little sign that said, nailed, put there by Pilate, this is the King of the Jews. Because Pilate had washed his hands of this and said, we'll get rid of your king. We'll kill him. Can't be king no more. What he didn't know and what our Lord tried to tell him was, or our Lord did tell him, you wouldn't have any power except God gave it to you. He's been king from eternity past to now and forever. He's king. He's not going to be king. He's not going to come to this earth and set up some kind of a kingdom for 1,000 years of righteousness and peace. He is king. We're living in that time where God is king. I'm in the good hands that were nailed to the cross for me. My king shows those hands. I'll be taken away a little bit from something else I'm going to say later on. But isn't that what Thomas wanted to see? I won't believe that Jesus Christ is alive unless I could put my fingers in the nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand into his side. The next time they were together and Thomas, Jesus came in the midst of them. Thank the Lord, he takes care of all our doubts, all our fears. He didn't chide with Thomas. He didn't tell him how little faith he had. He didn't tell him how awful he was. You know what he did? Sure you do. Behold, my hands and my feet and my side. Thomas, you want to see him? Would you like to put your fingers in him? Thomas didn't move from where he was. He just cried out, my Lord and my God. That was who was standing before him. I'm in the good hands that were nailed to the cross for me. I'm in the good hands from which the sheep cannot be plucked. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Most of you know this whole passage here. The Good Shepherd. John chapter 10. Go down to verse 27. My sheep, our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, according to the latter part or the first part of the chapter, they won't follow a stranger's voice. His sheep only follow his voice. And they follow me, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I'm in good hands. When the Lord brought me to himself, he says, I've got you. And no man is able. He's God. Who could? No man is able to pluck me out of my Father's hands. Which he goes on to say, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Tim James said it was a two-fisted God. He's got us. Now, who in the world is going to take us out of that? Who could do it? I'm in the good hands from which his sheep cannot be plucked. I'm in the good hands that were raised, that were shown as proof of his redemption and resurrection as he began to ascend on high. After his resurrection, he raised his hands and he blessed the people. What do you suppose they saw? They saw those nail-pierced hands. And they heard him bless them. Blessing them with only the way God could bless and giving them understanding. Thank the Lord that one day he raised those blessed hands and blessed me and any all his sheep and gave us understanding. I'm in the good hands that were shown a proof of his redemption and his resurrection. Why, he was raised for our justification, Paul said. He was raised for our justification. He was accepted of God, so God brought him from the dead. We who are his sheep are in the beloved, and we're accepted to God. So therefore, he raises up us from the dead. As a matter of fact, he said it in John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me shall in no wise perish, and I will raise him up from the dead. Three times in John chapter 6, I'll raise them up from the dead. I'm in those good hands. One final thought. I'm in the good hands that are going to be with me forever. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when we get to glory, what are we going to see? We're going to see the Lamb slain. We're going to see those nail-pierced hands. We're going to see that spear-riven side. We're going to see those nail-pierced feet. And we're going to know and feel and enjoy the love of God for all eternity. Those hands are going to be with me forever. Those hands that created everything, those hands that cannot be stayed, those hands that saves the drowning man, those hands that were nailed to the cross, those hands from which his sheep can never be plucked, those hands that were shown as proof of his redemption and resurrection, those hands that were raised to bless and to give understanding, all eternity I will be able to enjoy the hands of my Savior. Now I ask you in closing, are you in those good hands? Or are you in your own? Or in the devil's? However you want to call it. Are you in your own self-righteous hands? Are you in your own rebellious hands? Or are you in God's hands? His sovereign grace and mercy. Do you know God delights in mercy? You recognize that you are a sinner before a holy God, and you fall before him as He is the sovereign and you are nothing. And you call upon the name of the Lord. You know what he'll do? He'll save you. That's his promise. My God keeps his promise. Are you in good hands?